Welcome to the SBS Digital Learning Hour, brought to you by the Digital Learning and Assessment Department. We're coming to you today from our home office, bringing the latest news in Springfield Public Schools in regards to technology, along with inspiring interviews from teachers who are using technology in the classroom. I'm your host, Mike Thomas, the Bearded Tech Ed Guy. You can find me out on all the socials at Bearded Tech Ed, my own personal website, beardedtechedguy.com, or on the MySBS We Learn blog. One thing you will note, that if you go to the We Learn blog and then you go to my personal blog, you'll see that they are the same thing. I try to keep it in multiple places so that it can get the most use possible. Before we get into today's interview, which I'm excited to bring you, I just have a few updates of news and announcements. If you have not been paying attention to your email, you will have noticed that there has been a slew of district announcements as we are getting ready to return back in person on the Monday, the 29th. I had to think there for a moment. I don't have my calendar in front of me. I just know it's Monday, and I know that today is the 26th. So, see, 27th, 28th, you get the idea. So, on Monday, we're going to be back in person. So, there's been a whole host of announcements. Make sure you check them out on MySPS, including all about self-certification, the safety guidelines that have been set forth to us all. If you do listen to this on the 26th today, you will be hopefully aware that there is a vaccination clinic on the 27th that you will have access to as a teacher in Springfield. Also, the Springfield Educator came out. I read through it the other day. A lot of great articles, a lot of great things going on in the district, and I encourage you to check it out and read about it, because not only do I get to talk to people, but there are other stories that you might not get to hear, and they are all located there. Also, if you know anyone who would like to be a substitute teacher, we are in need of some in this district. There is a whole bunch of information all about that too. And don't forget your safe school training for the 2021 school year. Whew, that was a lot of announcements. I know I kind of just breezed over a lot of them. Look more in depth, go out to MySBS. It'll be under the news and announcements, easily accessible for you there. But I got through all that because I'm excited to talk to you today and bring you this interview with Kristen Brannigan over at Beale Elementary. One of the great things is we did record this back in February, so I am a little behind on getting these podcasts out as we've been gearing up to be back in person. So there's been a lot of things that I've had to take care of, and this is even a day late because it's been quite a week. A couple of things that we talk about in this podcast can't really do anymore because as I look outside my window, there is no snow and it's like 70 degrees. You can't go skiing, which is one of the things that Kristen talks about. But we are excited that we are going back in person and hear all about what Kristen is doing in her classroom and her time teaching in various different places, including starting out in Springfield and then coming back afterwards. So check it out.
Sure. Hi, I'm Kristen Brannigan. I am currently teaching at Beale second grade, and this is my 16th year in education. I started out teaching elementary, or actually K-5 science, and then went into second grade for the first 7 years of my teaching career in Massachusetts. And then I moved to Germany, actually, and I taught. I had some time as a paraprofessional, so I had that perspective, which was really interesting, in a first grade classroom. And then I took over mid-year in a third grade classroom. From there, I moved to Georgia and taught fifth grade and second grade. And I also taught some time in Alabama and then made a move to Colorado where I taught fifth grade and back to Massachusetts. So I've made my rounds, but back in my home state, I'm excited to be teaching, very excited to be a part of the Beale community. It's an awesome group and it's just a great community of learners.
Wow. It sounds like you've got a lot of great experiences having teaching for so long, but then also within that time traveling not only to other countries, but other states. In thinking about those times, what are some of the
fun or neat things that you've done with technology or just in your classroom in general?
I would say, depending on where I've been, I've learned so much technology. Every school has something that they use, something they would like you to implement. And I think actually this year being the year of remote learning, I thought I came into this year knowing a lot about technology. And now, now I realize that I know very little in the realm of what teachers can use and successfully implement at the elementary level in a remote setting. And so my mind has been opened up to the possibilities of using different technologies such as Nearpod and little features such as immersive reader that can kind of open up an assignment for a student like an English learner. So it's just, I think this year, the learning of the behind the scenes of creating the content for the students that's engaging and interesting and makes them want to come to school in a remote setting. And I feel like every single day I'm learning, even at the new teacher orientation last night, like I had said to you, learning different applications, different websites that we can be using. It's just every single day, I feel like I'm trying something new. Even yesterday, I had met with our math ILS and we talked about how students can use a math manipulative website while also using Nearpod and then be able to show that work on the Nearpod screen. And so it was suggested that they use the math manipulative site and then learn how to save the image and then upload it into Nearpod. And so we had that conversation, you know, can second graders do this? Well, we have to give it a try. I've been amazed at the amount of learning that second graders have been able to do with technology since August. I mean, we celebrate those moments in our classroom where I'll say to them in December, I said, boys and girls, remember when you guys tried to get on Schoology the first time and find a folder? And that was monumental. That was a very difficult task. And now you are giving each other a tech device and a document doesn't open, close it out, click on this. Like, just the amount of learning that they've done and been willing to persevere through, I think has inspired me to, on those late nights, to keep on trying and think about what applications, what websites can I implement into this lesson? What features can we use to make it more engaging and interesting for them? So it's been an interesting year of learning, but I'm glad that we've had this opportunity because I feel like for the students, it's going to grow them a lot in different ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with second graders being able to be proud of their work and the things that they've accomplished from the beginning of the year to now. That's such a huge confidence builder going into what many perceive as the important years, because every year after second grade is standardized test to the nines until they leave school. So getting them that confidence with the technology beforehand is really important. So that's really neat to see. Because of all the different places that you've worked and starting in Massachusetts, then coming back, other than we're kind of in a remote year, what are some big changes in education that you've seen happen in Massachusetts that now that you have that perspective of leaving and then coming back and teaching?
I think, honestly, again, we go right back to technology. It's, you know, when I started out in 2005 for 7 years, I had 3 computers in my classroom and an overhead projector. I know that dates me, but now you're looking at walking into a classroom and you have possibly, you know, a device for every student and you have a teacher device. And you have not only that, you know, you have that hardware, but you have all those systems, and especially in Springfield. I'm fortunate to be here because we have all these sites that we can use. And that has been, I think, the biggest change since leaving Massachusetts and coming back is what is available in the district. And are we making use of it? It's one thing to have it, but it's another to make use of it and have the students using it on a daily basis in a way that is, you know, extending their learning. And so we talked in Colorado, I learned about the SAMR model, And there was a big push for, you know, how are we meeting those different levels of using technology? And it just made me really think about, okay, we're using a computer to do something, but is it extending their learning? And so coming back and looking at, you know, remote learning obviously has changed all that, but it's now making me think, when we do get back into that classroom, how are we going to use technology different than when we would have used it prior to being remote? So for sure, lots of different things have changed. It's always a different, it seems like a different curriculum that I'm using, but I'm also happy to see that we're heading toward, you know, looking at that standard, decomposing the standard, and then thinking about how we're not just using one curriculum to follow. We can look at the standard and pull in those different components that we'd like to use to really teach the standard and teach it well. So those are probably the greatest changes I've seen, and in a positive way.
That's awesome. So you actually led into what my next question is. Now that we have been doing remotes for all this time, once we are back in person, whether that is later this year or next year, what kind of technology do you think you want to keep using in the classroom? Because you won't have to be doing Zoom meetings every day for one. So, like that That's one, I can see dropping.
But. Yeah, no Zoom meetings. I have right now, and I just received, I actually had put in a donor's choose to get a document camera to use at home. And before we got, I had gotten my own webcam before we got the ones from school. I thought, okay, I'll use the document camera and then I can transition it back to school. And because of the backlog on all those, I never got it. So then I had to make another choice and I chose to get a Microsoft Surface Pro, and I love it. So right now I actually use it to almost as my digital whiteboard, so to speak. And I have another webcam on it, and I use the whiteboard a ton, but I can change the colors. I can pull up a Nearpod and be on it showing like my teacher work, and then also have the three, you know, Dino on one screen and the Nearpod, you know, on another. So it's open that I can transition back because it's Microsoft based too. I can transition it back into the classroom. And since we got those new projectors, I'm hoping to be able to get a device where I can wirelessly project what's on my Surface Pro so I can be on the classroom walking around. Working with the Surface Pro. And I know in Colorado, I was able to do that with our teacher laptops. And it was so cool to be able to work with a student, you know, share something on the whiteboard, but be across the classroom. So you're not tied to that position, that movement. You have that movement for the kids, but also for the teacher. So that I would be excited to use within the classroom. Hopefully that works out. I think too, I know we say we don't want to do Zoom meetings, but I think we have to think about if we've opened ourselves up to be able to have meetings with people, you know, if you're where you are, I'm where I am, we're talking with teachers in Springfield or at Beale or wherever. How can the kids do that? So can we be working, and can kids be meeting during the school day with, you know, at Beale with students at another school in Springfield and talking about a book that they're both they're reading? Maybe our reading groups are extended outside of the classroom. I think that there are ways in which we could start to think about learning beyond just our school walls. There are a lot of possibilities there. So I'd like to look into that when we get back.
That's awesome, especially the idea of taking what has worked and trying to apply it so that you can do greater things with it, like with the Zoom meetings as you're talking about. Is this your first year in Springfield? I know you mentioned the new hire orientation.
Yes, this is my first year in Springfield. When I moved back from Colorado, I was with Hamden-Wilbraham, where I was for my first 7 years of teaching. Then due to their change in numbers and the uncertainty of having my position when I came back, since I was lower when I came back, I couldn't have COVID and the uncertainty of a teaching position. So I had the opportunity to join the Beale community, and I'm very happy for it. And I'm very grateful to have a job right now and to have to be part of that community. And even on my team, my coworker, Kelly Flyhive, is an absolute amazing, phenomenal person and teacher. So it's just been through the very difficult times. This has been, you know, a hard year for me personally too, with the loss of a parent. And so being in a great community, having the support in a remote setting where, you know, outside of the BOL, we have, you know, all of that training for Schoology, so many trainings to get us set up for success. Whereas in other districts, I know that's been very difficult because they haven't been provided with the, with those opportunities. So, I ended up in the right place for the time that we are, having to go through this. So,
yeah, it definitely sounds like it. Beale is a fantastic school. So I've run into and worked with many a teachers there. So you are in great hands there.
Yes,
for sure. Since you started in the fall, what has been some of the more exciting things, the things that you're proud of that your students were able to accomplish and do that maybe you were a little skittish back in September when we started school?
I think not even just, I think learning Schoology, that I think back to that first week where we were just showing them and trying to explain, okay, this is a course. This is what's inside of your course. You know, simple things like when they would click to on courses, not all their courses show up because they're not all stacked to be in the order that they use them. And so teaching them, okay, you have to go to the little statue in the corner and click on that to see all of your courses, and just learning the ways of remote learning before even trying to get into that content piece. So, but at the same time, we're trying to do content. So they were double learning, a brand new, it's triple, I should say, learning at home in a very different circumstance, learning a remote platform, and then learning the content after also having missed out on content at the end of last year. So I had to take that into perspective some days when things just would go a lot slower because there were issues. You know, students were having trouble with things. But I think that's the most amazing part, is that we have to give them the credit for how they've persevered through and continue to the use of technology. I mean, I think back to now, so we learned Schoology, and then I said, okay, when Nearpod, everybody was the, you know, the talk was about Nearpod. I'm like, okay, we're going to try it. So they were open arms, you know, I gave it to them. They tried it, and now they can teach each other about it. They know what to do on it. They are now learning how to upload an image from another website to show their work on it. And I have no doubt that in 2 or 3 weeks, all of them will be able to do that. So it's kind of cool that in the middle of a lesson, you could be teaching math and a student could say, wait, how do you do that again? And another will chime in and say, okay, press save image, do this, do this. And so they're knowing that we're a community and that everybody learns, you know, academics at a different pace. Everybody learns technology at a different pace, but we can be there to support each other. And that's the fascinating part. They know what to do now, you know, like we were talking about yesterday at new teacher orientation. They know anything goes wrong, they'll say, they'll wave to me, I'll be back in a minute. You know, press the restart. And like you said, it solves a lot of problems, but they know now that that's a process. That's just part of it. And they're working on those problem solving, those tech skills now before even asking. And that's major growth as well. So every day is, I think, a celebration, even though a lot of days are hard, and they're hard for them. We see it. But every day we try to talk about and celebrate how far we've come since the beginning.
How do you teach reading remotely? Because that, to me, like, I taught math and that was my primary focus. We were departmentalized, so it was a lot easier. I think it's a lot easier to teach math when it's concepts that are, I find them to be very straightforward. Maybe it's just how my mind works too. Mm-hmm. But teaching reading and then teaching reading remotely scares the living daylights out of me. So not to put you completely on the spot, but
no, that's all right.
How do you do it?
So we, that's been a team effort. That's been, okay, so we have our, you know, being a reader curriculum that we're working with this year, and it's new to us. And so we have, the very first thing is, wait, so we can't put the books in the hands of the children. How are we going to do this? And so there were copyright issues. There was just a lot going on. And that was where it was a team of, you know, our reading ILS, Therese Ferentino, our ILSs at other schools came together. They're snapping pictures. They're making PowerPoint flipbooks so that these students can have and access the books easily, because some of the books are just a link only. And we're trying to make it as easy as possible for these students. It shouldn't be a difficult task for them to try to find a book. Like, here's your book. This is, let's get excited about reading. We don't want it to be that they have to do so much just to get to the book. And so that has, having that accessible on Schoology, okay, here's your, go into this folder, open up this book. And then when we have our small groups, it's interesting because there should be a lot of partner conversation. It becomes a transition from that partner conversation and partner reading to kind of like, let's read this together. Let's do this together. So it's looking at the lessons, but kind of changing them around to what's going to work remotely. The other piece is there's supposed to be a lot of choral reading, depending on the set that the students are in. And some of the students, it's hard to say if they're, it's hard to judge. Are they participating, or are they following directions later, or is a lag in their internet? So at what would sound like a choral read in the classroom sounds very different remotely. And some students' voices are stronger than others. So you're like, do I see a yellow box around that student? Are they reading with me? And so you give them the benefit of the doubt, but sometimes you say, okay, hey, this, everybody else mute, and this person's going to try that passage again. So that way some students who do have a softer voice, you can hear them and just make sure that they're involved in that process. So it's a lot of redos. Like if we're doing sight words and we're reading spelling reading, and I see that I hear two voices, but I don't hear them all. I say, we're going to try that again this time. Let's see if we can do it all at the same time, you know? And so it's a try it again process. Mm-hmm. You make it like, ooh, can we do it all together? You make it kind of like a group competition. Yes, we can. So typically that helps to motivate them to be responding more around the same time. And then, yeah, I feel like the biggest piece is that discussion where in the remote setting, where at any given time in a group, if you have six or seven kids, you know, you have three friends sharing at once, and then you hear the other three voices, and that makes it a little bit more difficult in that remote setting. And so you're expecting them to be listening more, but also calling them and say, okay, what did so-and-so just share? So you know that they're along with you. And to the background noise, there are a lot of students learning in different centers with families at home, with younger siblings. And so it's stopping sometimes and saying, okay, let's try that again, because they couldn't hear that question or you couldn't hear them reading. So let's redo that. You know, it is what it is. We have to do a redo. So it's every day kind of taking that situation and making the most of it in a reading group. And it's happening. They're growing as readers. We're celebrating that. And so hopefully, you know, they'll have learned from this. They now know how to easily access an online book. And so in the classroom, they could do that. It's been challenging, but it's been a lot of rewards to it.
That's awesome. The let's try that again, but making it more fun for the students definitely sounds like it's extremely helpful.
Yeah, it's even situations I'm thinking where in the lesson it says have them point to or find something in the book. And so you're just hoping that in their remote setting, they're in that book. And so that's where Dino has been useful. Are you on the page that we're talking about? Okay, get to that page. And that it's different in the classroom. If you're working on sounds, they're really up close to you at that small group table. They're seeing how your mouth is moving. They're hearing that voice, that sound clearly, versus at home, if you're saying a sound and there's background noise, they're not hearing it the same. So that's why those redos always make a, you know, we'll say it again. No problem. Let's try that again.
So I do have one more reading question, and I'm not assuming that you'll have an answer for it. So I'm just going to prepare you for that. If we are back in person at some point this school year, which looks like it's a possibility, we'll most likely be wearing masks. When you're talking about like getting students to see like the mouth movements to help with how they're saying words, have you had any thoughts about how you might address that during that time? Because most masks are not see-through. So.
Right. And that's, I would probably get in touch with teacher friends that are doing it right now and have been doing it and see what suggestions they have and what's worked for them. The other thing I think about is how can technology play a role in that? You know, can I make a video at home of saying these, you know, this word set and then play it in the, you know, play it on the video. Okay, here's me at home without a mask on. This is what it looks like. This is what it sounds like. and then, you know, seeing if that's something that is beneficial for them. So for sure that, I guess I haven't wanted to think about that yet. but of course we know it's going to happen. And so I think that's where, again, it's going to be okay. We're back to square one in some ways. You know, this is remotely, this worked, and now that we're back in person, like you said, with masks, even the muffling of the sound is impacts the reading part. So I would guess that there's a lot, as you might know, there's probably a lot out there in terms of on social media about suggestions. I had joined Twitter back when I worked in Colorado, and it was just, the first time I joined it and started following educators, it was just kind of amazing to see what people posted and how it could be such a simple thought that I didn't have and you could implement the next day. So I'm thinking that's where I would go, but I'm not going there yet because still on the remote setting, there's tons to learn. So when we hopefully get that word that we can do that, I think that would be a place for me to look. Maybe reach out to you. What suggestions do you have with the use of tech?
I actually think you nailed what I would suggest.
Yeah, trying to get that use of technology.
I think you nailed what my suggestion would be on the head, which is make videos, record them. Well, I don't want to keep you too much longer. We are in the middle of your day, but I do have one question, which I think is the most important question right now. Is as teachers, we take on so much of what our students are doing, and we take into account, like, there's a lot more than just teaching content to students, and we give a lot of ourselves up during that time. I know for me, when I was teaching in person, I gave a lot of myself. And then on the weekends, I was still giving myself for my students, and I didn't take time for myself. Especially in this remote time where that is incredibly important. What are you doing to take care of yourself that you can pass along to help encourage others to take care of themselves?
So I love to run. And I haven't been doing as much of that in the winter time, but I do try to work out in the morning now, and I've never been like that, but I'm taking advantage of the time that we have where we don't have to commute to push myself to do it. Because if I look at the end of the day, I just finished retail, but I either had retail or now it's new teacher orientation. I'm doing the CS for All. So I run coding club on Tuesdays. And if I put it off, I know my head game will be, you can do it tomorrow. So pushing myself to work out in the morning. And I actually just saw on Instagram this morning, it was, you know, we get up every morning, we get up to do something for others typically, right? Whether it's our job, our family, whatnot. And this woman was talking about getting up for yourself. Like, don't get up for you get up for others, but first and foremost, you're getting up in the morning for yourself. And what are you doing for yourself in that morning to set yourself for the day. And so I think that's been a big thing, trying out new things. Like one of my friends that lives in, she's from Hawaii, and she would always meditate. And I never really, I would talk to her about it, but never understood the power of it until this year. Especially being in a house, you know, working out in the same room, being teaching in the same room. So that's been trying something new, I think, is important for ourselves. And just getting out as much as you can. I know certain restrictions apply, but, you know, like skiing is still happening. So I'm going skiing this weekend. And as much as I don't want to be in technology, I love to be with my family. So Friday nights, I get on with my nephews. We play Pictionary on Zoom. Just, so giving ourselves that time with enjoying things as much as we can. So trying to find the time.
Well, those are all really great suggestions. And I understand the running, not wanting to run in wintertime, because I had been running a lot before the snow came. And once we moved and then the snow really got here, it kind of went downhill.
Yeah.
So, I love my Tough Mudder, so I got to start preparing. So.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. Well, we'll get back into it soon. But yeah, that'll be something for you to look forward to as well.
Well, thank you again for your time, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks so much. I appreciate the time with you. Have a good one.
Thank you, Kristen, for your time and being able to chat. I love that you brought up the SAMR model. That is one of the things that I absolutely really try to push home is technology shouldn't just be about replacing something. It should really be about enhancing the learning. And thank you for helping a poor soul like myself understand how teaching reading during this remote time is and can be done really well. I think your students are super excited about it and they've been doing really well, which is also great to hear. So as we wrap up our time together, I want to just thank you all for spending some time and listening to me talk and this great interview. If you liked what you heard, please go out to iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify or Anchor, wherever you happen to be listening to this podcast. Make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you leave us a review, hopefully 5 stars, because we're awesome and you love us, so that others can find it too. It makes it easier. The more reviews there are, the better it performs. And the more better it performs, the more often we can share out all the great things that are happening in the classroom. Make sure you do all those things. Share it with your friends, share it with your colleagues. Next week, or in 2 weeks when we come back, we'll be discussing the Distant Learning Playbook, Module 3. And then we'll get into some really great interviews after that in the weeks to come. Again, I am thankful for this time that I get to spend with you. Next time we talk, I'll be coming to you from off central office because we'll all be back in person. So looking forward to that, looking forward to seeing people again and seeing your faces even in person. I am Mike Thomas, the Bearded Tech Ed Guy, and this is the SBS Digital Learning Hour. The SBS Digital Learning Hour is written, produced, directed, performed by Mike Thomas from OITA. The music is from Risen. You can find him out on SoundCloud.